All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. And I want to thank the Deaf Choir for a job well done. Thank you, folks. Amen. You did a wonderful job. You did a wonderful job. I appreciate it. I know it took a lot of intestinal fortitude. How's he going to translate that? That's Hebrew for gut. Marty just laughs at my corny humor. She thinks that tickles me to death. And yes, amen. And but I appreciate you folks getting up here and doing that. And you got up here on a night when the building was full. A lot of people here tonight. So thank you so much. All right, Mark chapter 6. Are you there? All right, let me read you a few verses here, beginning in verse 1. And then you leave your Bible open when we finish. And the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 1, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him." I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 3, there is a question that came as a result of their watching him in verse 2. They listened, they watched, and they were astounded at what they saw. I remind you that in another passage later on, it was said, "Never a man spake like this man." And when they heard him speak, they were astounded. And they could not believe that this was the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. They just could not get over what he was showing, and yet he was just one of them. They couldn't get over it. And they asked the question in verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter?" Now you'll notice it does not say, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" He's a grown man by this time. He is in his own right a carpenter. Yes, his earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and he was raised in a carpenter's house, and no doubt learned the trade as a young man. Probably right after his bar mitzvah at 13, he would go into the shop and begin learning and training as a carpenter, as a craftsman. And so for many years now, from 13... and now he's 30 when he starts his earthly ministry. For all these years, he has been a carpenter. And yet here he is in a temple astounding the people with the lessons and the sermons and the wisdom and the miracles that he wrought. And so his own countrymen now, remember, he came in verse 1 into his own country. They knew him. And they knew that he was a carpenter. But yet they listen to him and they're astounded. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the carpenter's son. What did Jesus learn by being a carpenter for those 17 years? What did he learn that prepared him for that 3.5 years that he ministered with these disciples? What did he learn in that period that he was a carpenter that God, that he could use during that 3.5 years of earthly ministry? Let's pray together. Our Father, how thankful we are that we have a Bible. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless tonight as we look at the Scripture. And Lord, as we perhaps go a little different direction than what we would normally do on a Sunday night. But yet, Lord, a thought that we need to grasp. And Lord, it shows us some wonderful things about our Savior. And so I pray that you'll bless it tonight. Lord, I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and help me as I preach. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want you to use me. And Lord, I want you to use the words that I say tonight to speak to every heart in this building. Lord, we're thankful for each person. Lord, help us to realize that we're not here. We are not here by accident. But we have a divine appointment. There was something that you want us to see tonight. And so, Lord, help us to see that thing that you want us to see. And Lord, I pray that when we leave here, we'll have a little different perspective on things, a little bit different, look at things in a little different light. And that, Lord, you will be honored and glorified in the decisions that are made. So bless us richly tonight, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I call to your attention tonight the little phrase that was asked concerning the Lord Jesus. Is this not the carpenter? Is this not the carpenter? What prompted this question from the faithful who gathered that morning in the synagogue and heard the Lord Jesus speak? What was it that prompted that question? Well, we read that when they got to the synagogue and all the people had gathered for the service, that the Lord Jesus stood up and began to teach and began to speak. And they were astounded at the wonderful truths that he spoke. They were amazed at all the wisdom that was found in his teaching. And they could not believe the miracles that he performed right in front of their eyes. I want you to take a moment and take yourself in your mind's eye back 2,000 years ago and see yourself sitting in that synagogue that morning. Those of you that have been to Israel with us, we've been in that synagogue, and we sat in on the seats where no doubt these people were sitting the morning that Jesus was speaking. We've been there. We visited at Capernaum, this amazing place. And I want you to, especially those of you that have been with us to the Holy Land, I want you to go back in your mind's eye and I want you to put yourself on those old stone seats as you listen and as you watch the Lord Jesus. Never have you heard what you're hearing come out of His lips. It's absolutely amazing, every sentence, you hanging on every word. It is phenomenal, the wisdom and the way he ties things together. It's just absolutely amazing to sit and listen to him speak. You look over and you see two people put their heads together, and one of them says, you know, surely he must be taking night classes at the seminary and certainly graduated top in his class to know all of this that he knows. Well, I've never heard anybody speak like him. You kind of put your focus and attention across the way and you see two ladies put their heads together. And these ladies are whispering and saying, you know, he surely must have had some special tutors come by the house and give him instruction in world affairs. Or he has certainly gone through someone's self-improvement seminar. How else could you explain all that this man knows and all the wisdom that comes forth as he teaches us? After all, he's just one of us. Is not this the carpenter that all of us know? Yet listen to him. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon? Is not this the carpenter? The truth is, folks, every man learns certain lessons from the trade he chooses in life. It matters not what you go into. There are certain life lessons that are connected with the line of work that you choose that in many cases, someone who is not in your line of work will never learn. For example, a farmer would learn a very different set of life lessons than a sailor would learn. A teacher would have a certain set of life lessons that would give them a certain outlook and perspective, and it probably would be completely different from someone who worked in a factory somewhere. And yet, in the Scripture, what we read is that the Lord Jesus was a carpenter. And when I read that statement this week, is this not the carpenter? It dawned upon me, and it got me to thinking that from the time the Lord Jesus was about 13 years of age until he was 30 years of age, he served as a carpenter alongside of his earthly father, Joseph. And by the time you get to Christ's earthly ministry, there is no mention of Joseph anywhere in his life. So evidently, Joseph died somewhere in between the time when Christ was 13 and 30. And they do not say, is this the carpenter's son? They say, is not this the carpenter? So evidently, the Lord Jesus had taken over the family business by this time, being the oldest son, and so now he is the head carpenter in his family shop. And so I wonder what did he learn in that 17-year period? What did he learn that he was able to use once he started his earthly ministry? Now, we might be sure from what we understand about life that all these years of being a carpenter would have had an impact and would have left their mark upon the Lord Jesus through the 3.5 years of his public ministry. And I'm sure that his trade taught him many lessons and gave him certain insights that he used as he conducted his earthly ministry. I'm sure that the lessons that he learned as a carpenter would impress certain truths upon his mind and truths that he would use in his teaching and in his preaching and in his desire to inspire and move and persuade others to hear and believe his message of grace. So I started to think, what could Jesus have learned from his trade as a carpenter? I thought of a few things. I wrote them down and then went through as many of them as I could, as I knew that I would have time tonight for the message. So let me give you three things. The skeptics in our text didn't think his trade as a carpenter would give him anything that he could use. When they heard him speak, they were astounded. And I'm sure they were sitting around thinking, well, he didn't learn that in the carpenter shop. But I want to suggest to you three things that I think he could have learned from his trade. The first thing is this. The first thing that he could have learned was this. How much may be hidden in a thing? Now, let me explain what I mean. Don't forget, he's a carpenter. Now, folks, when we think of him as being a carpenter, probably in our minds, we think of him as building houses. No. No, that's not what the carpenters did. The carpenter fashioned things out of wood. The carpenter was one that took raw material and then he fashioned items that could be used and purchased by people in the community, like bowls, spoons, forks, plows, platters, those types of things, tables, chairs. That's what a carpenter did. And the first thing, one truth that I think he could have learned was how much may be hidden in a thing. Now, let me explain what I mean. I want you to go back in your mind again 2,000 years ago. And I want you to see an old cart coming down the road pulled by two oxen. And the Lord Jesus standing outside of His shop watching as that cart approaches. In the back of that cart is a great big log. It has been hewn down, rolled into that cart, and Jesus is buying that log. He watches as the man comes up, and Jesus says, "Is that the log I ordered?" The man says, "Yes, we cut it this morning. And if you'll pay me, I will roll it off, and you can begin to work." And so the Lord pays the man for the log, and then the carpenter of Nazareth would begin to work it up. The first thing he would do is cut off the limbs and the branches, and then he would begin to saw it into planks and blocks that he would use to fill the orders that he had been gathering over the previous days. As he would continue to work, one would be able to see the blocks and the planks and the various things that he would make. Perhaps a plow for a farmer down the road. Perhaps a chair for a family that just got a new child. Perhaps a wooden cup or a bowl or maybe a platter. But here's what I want you to see. As the Lord Jesus pays the man, they roll the log off the cart and the man disappears. The Lord Jesus is standing there looking at that log, and already in His mind's eye, as a carpenter, He can see the hidden things that are inside that log. He already knows His orders. He sees a chair and He sees a table. He looks at you and I would look at it, and if someone said, "What is that?" we would say, "Ah, it's just an old log." But the carpenter, especially one that knows his trade, and I have no doubt that Jesus did, the carpenter would look at that, and he doesn't see a log. No, he sees that bowl that Mama is going to use for that new baby. He sees that cup that is going to be filled with water for some child. He sees that platter that Mom is going to put the food on and carry to the table. That's what he sees. Jesus could look into that log as a carpenter and see the hidden thing. Now you understand what I mean? The carpenter could see all of these objects hidden in the log he received. And as he did his work, he did not see what you and I would have seen, just an old tree that had been cut down. No, in the tree, he could see the hidden thing. He could see the bowl that some child would eat a hot meal out of. He could see the plow that some farmer would hitch a team to and plow a garden that would be used to feed his family. He could see out of that old log a platter that some caring mother would serve dinner to her family with, with all the love and compassion that her hands could demonstrate. He could see the hidden things in the tree and was able to get them out. And so I have to wonder, as he was doing his handiwork as a carpenter, if he did not stop and just dream for a moment and say to himself, "Boy, there sure is a lot of hidden stuff in this old block of wood that I have before me." And folks, do you think for a minute that once the Lord was no longer a carpenter, but entered His 3.5 years of earthly ministry, do you think that He forgot that when His carpentering days were over? I doubt that seriously. For I think that every soul who heard Him and then believed Him, I think in them He saw that which was the hidden thing in them, and He saw what they could do for and in the kingdom of God. When He saw them, He did not just see them, He saw what they could do for the cause of Christ. And that makes me wonder what the carpenter sees in each of us. I think the day that God saved my soul back in October of 1970, I think God looked down at that altar that day and saw in that rough old piece of timber that one day I would be standing here as the pastor of this church. God saw the hidden thing in me. He saw that I would one day meet Dr. Curtis Hudson and become a friend of his and end up preaching in Store of the Lord conferences all over the place. I think that he saw that there would be a day when I would walk into a hotel lobby and run into Dr. Shelton Smith, and we would introduce ourselves to one another, and he and I would become a dear, dear friend, and that that he and I would preach together in sword conferences all over the place. He saw that hidden thing that Larry Stainer and I would team up and train hundreds and hundreds of soul winners around the world. God saw the hidden thing. And I wonder, what does God see in you, my friend? There's something He wants to form and fashion. What's He see in you? I'm saying the carpenter sees the hidden thing. And you know, that's what scares me. It also thrills me, but it also scares me. What did he see in 1970 that has not been fashioned yet? What knot has he hit in my life that I'm not yielding to his hands, that is causing me not to have done something or not to do something that he wants me to do? And that leads me, of course, to the application tonight. What hidden thing does the carpenter see in you? Do you think that he might have seen the hidden thing a little different than the product that's here today? Do you think he just might have seen it a little bit different? I mean, maybe there is more that the carpenter had in mind when he saved your soul than what you have yielded to him. Maybe he saw a great soul winner when he saved your soul, when that old log was rolled off the cart and you got saved. Maybe he saw hidden inside you a great soul winner, but that is not materialized yet. When are you going to surrender that knot and start doing what God wants you to do? Maybe God saw a great Sunday school teacher in you, and God saw these little boys and girls sitting at your feet with their eyes wide open to learn about the Savior and learn about the Bible, but He just hasn't quite been able to carve that out of you yet. Oh, that we were just pliable and usable. One thing for sure, my friend, when He saved your soul, you can be assured there was something in His mind that He had in store for you. That's just the way He works. Oh, that we would come to Him and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, what hidden thing do you see in me? What hidden thing do you see in me?" I tell you, most of the time, I'm so rushed and so pressed to get the sermon done I'm going to be honest with you, I really don't let it convict me like I should. I'm confessing my sin to you right now. That's the honest truth. Most of the time, I'm so pressed to get it done. But this one, I've had done since Friday morning, and I have thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and it's been on my mind. It was on my mind all afternoon, and I've been under conviction before I ever even preached the sermon, because I realized that, listen, I know that I have not reached all the potential that I should reach. Listen, have you? Have you? You say, "Well, Pastor, I'd like to think I have." My friend, you'd like to think you have? Let me tell you something. God has some wonderful things for us. The problem is He runs into a little knothead every now and then. You know? All right, there's the second thing. The second thing I think he learned. And this is so simple, you're going to laugh at me, but it... Let me give it to you. The second thing I think he learned is that it takes time to make anything. Now, folks, you got to realize the carpenter in New Testament times did not have the luxury of power tools. Whatever was made by hand. And it was time-consuming, laborious, difficult work. If a woman came by to place an order for a bowl, she would not place her order and then say, and "I'll walk right over here and I'll have a seat and I'll wait on my bowl." No, you didn't do it that way. You came and placed your order, and then you got it when the thing was done. And it may be that the old log had just been rolled off the cart. And it may be that when your order was put in, that somebody had already had an order for a chair, and there was already an order for a plate, and there was already an order for a couple of forks, and you had to wait your turn. And then the carpenter had to take that chunk that he saw the hidden thing. He knew that your bowl was in there, but he had to take that chunk, and he had to carefully and laboriously labor over that piece of wood until finally, eventually, after much time was consumed, he would finish your bowl. So you could not say, "I'll wait over here." Oh no. Oh no. Everybody knew that it takes time to make anything. I could see him saying, "Ma'am, that you see that log laying there? I have a plow and two chairs and a table, and then your bowl will come out of that old gnarled log. I have to change that log into your bowl, and I have no idea how many knots I'm going to have to battle with, but I'll send you word when I get it done." Now, folks, do you think that that life lesson was forgotten once Jesus started his ministry? And to that question, I say, no, sir, I don't think it was. I assure you that Jesus knew that it would take time to make out of us what he wanted us to be. I dare say that he knew the time that it would take to fashion us into something useful. Can I illustrate it? Just think about the apostles. Just think about the apostles, the men that the Lord Jesus called to follow him. It didn't take 1 hour for Simon to become Peter. It took 3.5 years, and it almost didn't happen. It did not take while you wait. Are you listening? It did not take while you wait to make John into the disciple whom Jesus loved. The truth of the matter is, there is nothing more wonderful in history than the long, patient, and persistent way in which the Lord transformed these men that he gathered from along the shores of Galilee. Isn't it amazing? In an instant, he could cure a man of leprosy. In an instant, all he had to do was speak a word, and a man that had been that was stiff in death would rise up off of his bed and be alive again. I mean, somebody who was blind, all he had to do was just say the word, and their blindness was gone. He could do all those things in an instant, but yet it took several thousand tiresome instants to transform Simon into the Apostle Peter. And I can just imagine that as he spent those 3.5 years training and working on these men, I could just imagine the frustration that must have come upon him when he thought he had made some headway and then saw him take 10 steps backwards. Can you see it now? He's watching and he's teaching and he thinks he's doing well with them, and then all of a sudden they back up a little bit, and just as they back up, he looks over and sees a little boy that he knows, his mom and his dad, and that little boy is holding a cup, and Jesus sees that little cup in that little boy's hand and realizes that he made that cup. And he didn't make it overnight. And he certainly is not going to make these disciples what they need to be overnight. Now, folks, that's not an excuse for any of us not to be what God wants us to be. But the simple truth of the matter is, if you're going to build something and you're going to make something, it takes time. And the Lord knew. And I could imagine that he would raise his head to heaven and thank the Father for those years where he learned patience as a carpenter. And folks, I want you to know that every one of us in this room tonight, every one of us are in the hands of the one who was a carpenter. And that's a fact we must never forget. And I want you to understand that he's a thorough workman. His years as a carpenter have taught him patience. He knows the danger of trying to rush the job. So he's slow and methodical and patient, but he's very thorough and understand that our carpenter is eager for perfection in his work. If the material he is working with is a little difficult, a little stubborn, a little resistant, well, he just might have to get a little bit tough with it, but be assured he's not going to give up. Folks, I believe with all of my heart that those 17 years as a carpenter were preparatory for the 3.5 years that he was in the ministry, and I think they taught him some very valuable life lessons, and one of those lessons is that, boy, it takes time to build anything. How's the Lord doing with you? I mean, how are we doing, Christian? Are we, my goodness, I've been preaching to you now for 11 years. Who knows how many years before that you were under the sound of preaching? Well, let me ask you, how are we doing with that Bible reading thing? Huh? How are we doing with that church attendance thing? How are we doing with that surrendering thing? How are we doing with that tithing thing? Amen. Huh? How are we doing with all that? Folks, you see, the Lord's not going to let up on you. I mean, He's just not going to let up on you. I talked to somebody this week, and a fellow said, "Pastor, we were coming to church, and then we had a bunch of stuff happen in our family, and we got away from it. And man, Pastor, you know, I remember you preaching one time, and you said that as a Christian, if you get out of the will of God, God has this spiritual paddle. He'll just come down and spank you with it." And I said, "Yeah, I'm listening." And they said, "You know, the Lord has been spanking us something terrible." And I said, "Well, listen, when I spanked mine when they were little, they lined up. Are you lining up?" And they are lining up, by the way. They were here this morning. I saw them. Folks, I want you to know that from the moment you get saved until the moment you die, the carpenter is working on you. And he's patient. He's going to do a good job. He's going to do a thorough job. Can you feel Him working on you? Can you feel that carpenter's hands upon you? You know, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." That word workmanship is the Greek word poema. We get our English word poem or poetry from that word. Our carpenter is making something poetic out of the chaos of our lives. He is making something beautiful. He is something flowing out of our lives. He molds and He fashions and He creates. And He is always working to make us into something useful to Him. And many of you can look back over the last months or years since you've been saved, and you can see where you were before you got saved, and then you can see where you are tonight, and just like these men in the text, you'll stand here tonight in amazement and say, "Well, is not that the carpenter that's been working on me?" Hey, let me ask you, how many of you in back over here before you were saved, it never dawned on you that on Sunday night you would be sitting in church listening to somebody stand up and holler at you for 45 minutes. But now you're here. Why? Because the carpenter's been working on you. That's why. The carpenter's been working on you. Some of you never in your wildest dreams ever imagined that you'd be able to go out and knock on somebody's door and ask them, "If you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" But yet you're doing it. Why? Because the carpenter's been working on you. That's why. You are His workmanship, created by Him so that you can do something useful for Him. Thank God. Sometimes it takes a little while. But you just rest assured, my friend, the carpenter's not going to give up on you. He's just not going to quit. There's a third point I want you to see. A third thing I think he might have learned. And that is simply this. The finest things are made from the hardest woods. The finest things are made from the hardest woods. Now, folks, just think about this for a minute. How many times did the Lord Jesus go into that temple? Many times. We've been studying the life of Christ on Wednesday nights, and man, we've noticed many a time he'd just walk right in that temple and start teaching, start preaching. Big crowds would gather around him. Then the Pharisees would get all mad and they'd come and confront him. He'd tear them up and they'd leave embarrassed and he'd just keep right on teaching. I want you to know that if you've read your Old Testament, you know that God required that the paneling used in the temple and in Solomon's palace was to be made out of cedar, the hardest wood around there. And the cedar was selected because of its durability, its hardness, its strength. And I want you just to imagine the carpenter as he walks into the temple to teach. Don't you think that a smile must have come across the carpenter's face when he looked around and he saw the cedar that lined that room? I mean, as a carpenter, he knew the work required to line the walls of that huge structure with cedar planks. Do you think that he might have recognized a little deeper meaning than anybody else? And think about what might have crossed his mind. Maybe he grinned from ear to ear as in his omniscience he would look down the road a few years and see a Pharisee, a man who was as hard as any cedar tree that grew on the slopes of Mount Hermon, and a man by the name of Saul who was killing Christians and thinking that he was doing God a favor while he was killing them. But the finest things, folks, are made from the hardest wood. And Saul fell on his face one day, and he got saved, and then Saul was sent to the desert by the Spirit of God, where he was taught of the Holy Spirit for 3 years, and when he came back, he did not come back as Saul, he came back as Paul. You and I are here today because the carpenter makes the finest things out of the hardest woods. I remember years ago, my mother would say, "Would you stop? Would you quit? Would you stand still?" I was just constantly on the move. And I was into everything. And I can remember my mother saying, "One more time. One more time. Just one more time." And I can remember my grandfather saying, "Now, Norma Jean, you just leave that boy alone. God's going to take all that energy one of these days and God's going to make him a preacher." Amen. And I used to say, "No, he's not." Amen. But he did. Do you know anybody who is a hard case? Sure you do. You say, "Pastor, my son's a hard case." Don't give up on him. You can't give up. I mean, don't ever give up. Don't quit on anybody. Have faith and realize that the hardest cedars are the ones that adorn the elegant walls of the temple. You can't just look at somebody and say, "Oh, well, they're too difficult. They're too hard a case." Oh, no, my friend. God the carpenter, Jesus the carpenter, never looks at anybody and says, "Oh, that's too hard to work with." He looks at the hard case and says, "Boy, that sure could make a beautiful adornment." Don't ever quit on anybody. I remember my dad was a hard nut to crack. My dad was a hard-working, dedicated to his family, dedicated to his job. He went into the Masons. You know, worked his way through the Masons, got up to 33rd degree, you know, where you get all that honorary stuff. Boy, he thought that was good enough to get him to heaven. I mean, he was convinced that he was a good man. He didn't need no God save him. And boy, I'm telling you, my mom, she just didn't see that at all. She would take Bible verses and put them in his lunchbox. She'd take tracts and put them in his lunchbox. You know those little chick comic book tracts? You can't throw those away. You've got to read them. I mean, they're comic books. You've got to read them. And she would get these chick comic books, tracts, and she'd put them in his lunch. And man, I'm telling you, he'd get under conviction. And one day, my dad stepped out from the back of the church, Sunday night service, and walked down to the front, got on his face. My mom did laps around the front of the church, about that high off the carpet. I don't think she hit ground once across through there. And her testimony until she died was, don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. I mean, even the hardest cases can crumble before the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I could sit here and look out and names are coming through my mind. I mean, I'm seeing situations. I remember when you got saved. I remember how hard a nut you were to crack. I remember, Steve. Yes, I do. Right here's a Jewish boy. Didn't need that Messiah thing. No, wait, still waiting on the Messiah. What do you mean Jesus not the Messiah? But he finally come to the point. Yes, he is. I'm thinking about old Brian over here, old Mr. Evolution. First Sunday comes to church and I hammer Evolution. He didn't like me very much. Matter of fact, he didn't like me at all. I ain't going back to that church. That guy's nuts. But he came back. Down the aisle he came, put his faith in Christ. And I could go on and on and on. Folks, listen, it's those hard trees that the carpenter is able to adorn the most beautiful of facilities. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. You know a hard case? Don't give up on them. Folks, I think the Lord learned many a lesson working beside Joseph in that carpenter shop, don't you? I think he learned a lot of things. How I thank God for the work of the carpenter in my life. And I want you to know, I don't think the Lord's finished with me, and I certainly don't think he's finished with any of you. There's much more we can do. Every time Dr. Smith introduces me, which he does quite regularly, every time he introduces me, he talks about his 17 years as pastor of this church. And then he says, and now for the last 11 years, Dr. Belcher has been the pastor of that church. And he said, they've just taken it on another step. They've built stuff and they've remodeled stuff and they've bought more land and they've sold land and they just increased the buses and increased the youth and increased the choir and they're doing this and they're doing that. And he said, the best years of Open Door are still ahead. And every time he says that, I get this tingle in my spine. And I just sit here now after thinking this thing through, and I thought, oh, what does God want to do with us? The carpenter's wanting to work. But you see, folks, the carpenter has to have some material with which to build something. Would you tonight just see yourself as that old log that's been thrown in the back of that cart? Would you just see yourself right now outside the carpenter's shop? Could you just imagine the Lord Jesus is looking down and inside that he sees a soul winner. Inside that he sees a bus worker. Inside that he sees a Sunday school teacher. Inside that he sees a church member that prays for the pastor and prays for the church and prays for souls. Inside that he sees somebody who will go over here to one of these nursing homes and tell somebody who's only got a few days left on this earth how to get to heaven. He looks inside that old log and he sees all kinds of things. I wonder where you and I fit into that log. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Oh, that we would just all say, Lord, I'm in there somewhere. I know I'm in there somewhere. Lord, would you carve me out so that I can be used? Is not this the carpenter? Folks, you see, one of these days, if Jesus tarries his coming, you will look back on tonight. You will look back on this morning, last Sunday night and last Sunday morning, and our revival meeting and pastor's conference the few days before that. You'll look back on these days.
you'll realize that those were the days where I made my decisions for the Lord. Those were the days where I, as an old piece of wood, was just in the Master's hands. And you'll look back and you'll say, well, look at what I am today. Wow, I used to be an old log. I used to be just an old block of wood. But look at what I am now. Wonder who did this. Was it the carpenter's son? That's exactly who it was. Amen. And that's what all of us need to do tonight, is just surrender ourselves to the hands of the carpenter. Folks, I say to you, he learned some pretty valuable lessons. But those lessons were for our benefit. Pray with me, please. Father, we're so thankful for our blessed Savior. And Lord, I pray that you will bless what's been said tonight to our hearts. And Lord, give us understanding. I trust that, Lord, every one of us will look at ourselves in the light of what we've just heard. And Lord, may we sit here and rejoice that the carpenter sees what's inside the wood. He sees the hidden thing. Lord, help us to ask, what do you see in my life? Lord, what do you want from me? Lord, may we realize, every one of us, may we realize that, Lord, there's something that you saved us for. There's some purpose for which you redeemed our soul and left us here. Lord, if you didn't have something for us to do, some way to serve, some way to honor and glorify you, you'd have just taken us on to heaven the minute you saved us. But Lord, you left us here. And it must be because you've seen the hidden thing and you know what we can be. So Father, I pray that we'll just be putty in your hands tonight. That Lord, you will mold us and we will allow you to mold and fashion us. Lord, there's folks that need to join the church tonight. May they surrender. May they surrender that part of themselves to you tonight. There's folks here, Lord, that need to come and Lord, just say, I'm gonna start reading that Bible every day. They need to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You've been dealing with me about tithing, but I've been fighting you on this. Lord, help us just to surrender and yield ourselves and be what you'd have us be. Oh, dear Lord, do your work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.